Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up on a Wednesday. And we've got a great show for you.
Yeah, brought to you, as always, by AmericasCitizenPress.com and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. At 3:30, we're going to have the newly elected vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party, Priscilla Ron, on. And they've been doing actually some pretty interesting avant-garde stuff for Republicans. Pretty techie and getting the messaging out, all kinds of crazy concepts. And then we got the vaccine, all kinds of stuff breaking about the vaccine going on. But wanted to start off with what I'm considering, some murders are more equal than other murders. And we want to encourage you guys, if you want to call in, 888.
Do the right kind of murders if you're going to be engaged in murderous conduct yourself.
Right.
You just have to remember that.
But that's right. Some murders, you don't get, there are no penalties for.
No
other
problems.
Murders, they just throw the book at you. 888-627-6008 is the number to call in. 888-627-6008. And if you are up on Zoom when you want to talk, just go ahead and unmute yourself and mic yourself, and we can bring you up. I'd like to remind people, just one person at a time. Otherwise, it gets too overwhelming for our producers in Zoom. But here's what I'm talking about. So the officer in Brooklyn Center, Officer Kimberly Potter, was charged today with manslaughter.
Didn't take long.
In the shooting death of, I'm not sure how you say his name, the suspect Wright.
And how do you pronounce it?
Was it Duante? I don't know if it's Dante or Duante. And so I apologize. To that. But at any rate, she was charged with second degree manslaughter. Her name was out in the public from the very beginning. All kinds of people have doxxed her house. I'm sure you've seen the pictures now of her house surrounded by barricades. She's had to leave. Her neighbors have had to leave. There have been protests in front of her house. I have to say, I personally, and Chuck, you may disagree, you're the lawyer, but I personally think that actually that's probably an appropriate charge. Manslaughter indicates you caused the death of somebody through incredibly negligent behavior, but there was no intent to actually, you didn't start out to try to kill the person.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think it absolutely wasn't, manslaughter is a proper charge, not murder two or murder three or anything else, but manslaughter, which has a 10-year possible prison sentence
right.
to it. I think when you're yelling taser, 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 and you've been on the force for 26 years, you're head of the union, you blow somebody's stomach apart.
Yeah, grabbing, and I know we can talk about the conduct of the suspect and all of that, but I think she was unaware of all of that at the time. So to me, that's kind of moot, at least at this point. So what I'm saying is I don't really have a problem with that case. I think that case is being handled appropriately.
Well, and on that respect, although that's incredibly quick charging and so forth, but the rest of it where the city manager says, no, I'm not going to fire her because we have a procedure and I'm required to file that procedure.
So he
then
gets fired
by the mayor, who's coming on the thing, and then it says, I believe in due process and stuff. That was obscene.
Well, and then what do you think the assistant manager? So this is that they fire the manager who won't fire her,
yeah,
right?
Saturday Night Massacre.
And so then they bring in the assistant city manager. And what do you suppose that person? So she resigned. And one of the reasons I know this from covering these cases, she resigns in order to protect her pension. And I suspect also she resigned. I think there's probably something sincere in her resignation letter. It's best for the community, for herself, and for the department.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, no problem really, except for that part of it with this case.
That part and firing the
and the police chief quits.
And I'm not sure what.
But to flip it around, so also today though, you may remember back on January 6th when Ashley Babbitt, a self-proclaimed Trump supporter, and I know there are a lot of questions about who was and who wasn't storming the Capitol, but she was at least in her Facebook page as a self-proclaimed Trump supporter. She's been portrayed in the media as a Trump supporter. She was shot and killed in cold blood by a Capitol police officer. Now, when you see the video, there were other. So here's the the wall behind you where the cop is back here and he's pointing. You can see him pointing the gun like this, right? She's climbing through a window this way. Well, there are police officers, at least two of them standing right here, right? So they weren't alarmed enough to shoot her, right? So this other guy shoots her. So today the Department of Justice announces that there are going to be no charges. There is not enough evidence to charge her in, to charge anyone in
that
case.
Whoever it was.
Whoever it was.
Because we don't know.
We don't know.
That so if you're going to kill somebody, make sure it's a Trump supporter.
Or white Trump supporter.
A white Trump supporter in particular, because they can be killed at any old time without too much ramification.
And that is to me, that is an outrage. This is an officer involved shooting.
Without the name ever being revealed.
Never revealed. Nor is there any media clamoring for it, because the media could figure it out if they wanted to. And initially they had the wrong guy, and that was like, no, that wasn't him. But they didn't try very hard, I guess is what I'm saying. In the other case, they put this woman's name out all over the place. The Antifa people storm her house. They have to put barricades around her house. In this case, Ashley Babbitt murdered in cold blood. And that officer had time to think, right? It wasn't like this case was a mistake. Right. He's standing there with his gun pointed. He had time to think. He had time to react. He had time. There were other people walking around in the background.
But it was a Trump supporter.
Yeah. So who cares about that? Nope, that's gone. Let's compare that too. Now let's take a look at Kyle Rittenhouse, the kid who was charged with, and that was, to me, when you look at the videotape, self-defense. He's shooting people in Wisconsin.
Yes.
He shot and killed a guy in Wisconsin who was pointing guns at him. They were chasing him, things like that. So he's charged with first degree murder. And, you know, they want to keep him in prison forever. But let's flip around and look at those two teenage girls in Washington, D.C., who carjack an Asian man, by the way, and they kill him. In the meantime, the Kyle Rittenhouse case is dragging on, just kind of like the Ashley Babbitt case did. Okay. And
well,
in that case...
When you want to spring the
suspect. These two African-American teenage girls, within a couple of days of them killing the guy, which is exactly what happened, the prosecutors announced that they're going to give them a plea deal that involves no jail time. So let's
However, there wasn't two white teenagers. Because then it had been Asian hate crime.
Right. Yeah, because it was African-American people. That wasn't an Asian hate crime. It wasn't a crime at all. It was just their victims. They're, because it's racism.
It's a form of reparation.
They're victims of systemic racism. And the Asian guy, of course, wasn't. He was just a murder victim.
Yeah.
The appalling video where you see the girl, the guy's dead there in the scene. They've just killed the guy. And she steps over him to try to get her cell phone. I mean, it's just there's no, oh my God, what have I done? Nothing like that. So kind of justice. Now let's turn our attention to the Portland Antifa thugs who burned and ransacked and continue to burn and ransack Portland. And that's all okay too. They're all getting deferred judgments. But if you are one of the Trump supporters
who walked in the Capitol, didn't loot, didn't do anything else.
Or not even walked in the Capitol, the FBI has turned all of its, they're putting out, you know, like Crime Stoppers videos, Crime Stoppers things. They're searching NSA databases. They're getting cell phone records. They're getting hotel receipts, trying to track down every person who was there so they can prosecute them. And they're trying to keep them in jail without bond, too. I mean, talk about a two-tiered system of justice. I got to tell you what, I mean, if you're shot and killed by a police officer and you're African-American, I don't think anything else counts, really. If you're African-American, no matter what it is, you got to go down. You got to be fired. That's the end of it. If you're a white person or anybody else shot and killed by a police officer, then that's okay.
Well, that's racist, Julia.
Yeah.
Totally racist.
I mean, it's just outrageous what's going on in our country. And I, you know, and this is the Department of Justice. I think if you're a local cop out there, you got to be going to yourself, what the hey? You know what I mean? I mean, what do you do? Any little thing can be interpreted as racist and you get fired. And when your city manager tries to point out, well, actually, by law, we can't fire them. We have to go through due process. And I'm sure we'll do that. And the mayor says, no, we don't fire. And then put the city manager. It's just it's obscene what is happening out there. And it is obscene to me, even more obscene, Chuck, that they don't even care. The Department of Justice just doesn't even care that the Ashley Babbitt case, it's like, no, we're not going to release the guy's name, nor does the media care.
Well, it's not a fair world, we all get to find that out every day, more and more every day.
Yeah, this is Sandra. And not only are the FBI picking up people with the January 6th Trump rally, I believe Rhonda Stockham, Straka was one.
Right.
You're right, Sandra. He was the founder of the walkaway movement. Mm-hmm. And yeah, anybody who was a Trump supporter, you've got people who are in various jobs and careers whose pictures were shown of them being at the Trump rally. They weren't even at the Capitol, right? These are just people at the Trump rally, and they're being fired from their jobs.
Right.
So, but you can kill a person there if you're a cop, and that's totally fine. No evidence of any kind of excessive force or misuse of anything, right? No questions asked, just nothing. And by the way, we're not going to release his name.
No, they don't forget. So, you know, it's a wonderful world out there, and never has been fair, and it's going to be even less, a lot less fair with the companies jumping on board. All of corporate America become woke with their wonderful CEOs pulling down $125 million and other obscenities, but as long as they're woke, it's good.
Well, and I'm going to continue my kind of my rant on that too, because I submit to you that being woke has nothing to do with it. Being power hungry and greedy has everything to do with it. These corporations, and there was Breitbart had a great article on that today. The corporations, so we've got like all these CEOs, and they're all being kind of, I don't want to say guided, or I'm not sure who's using who. I think it's mutual using, but a lot of these Democrat funded organizations, the Arabella Group, they're one of those groups that in the last election and in 2016 laundered a lot of dark money, basically, for Democrats. They laundered a lot of money for Democrat organizations that did vote ballot harvesting, things like that. You've got them. You've got Lawfare, which is the legal group. And now they're forming all kinds of groups to try to challenge all of these election reform laws, which aren't election reform laws, by the way. They're laws that just say we're going to undo all the ridiculous actions that we took in 2020. So they're not new laws. All they're doing is saying we're going to go back to our old laws. And by the way, the laws that required you to have an ID, one person, one vote, not, as Steve Hilton said, one union representative, 500 votes. So keep that in mind too. And they're going to file lawsuits against all of that. You've got another group that's called The Hub, which is apparently funded by some Swiss guy with connections to the George Soros organizations. So all of these companies, and they're not really companies, I think that's even the wrong word, they're basically multinational cabals, basically, that are trying to control, crush democracy and crush the middle class, basically because they want to get politicians elected who give them tax cuts, raise our taxes, who give them tax loopholes. I mean, they'll say, oh, we're going to raise your taxes, but then they throw in all these loopholes that, lo and behold, only these companies can take advantage of. They'll say, oh, no, Facebook is not a monopoly, Microsoft, not a monopoly, Microsoft can sell all kinds of secrets and information to China, which then China uses to spy on us. That's okay. No problem there. I mean, it's just ridiculous with these corporations. So I submit to you, it's not woke. They just simply are so arrogant and so confident in their ability to completely control the outcome of elections. How's that? That's not election fraud. That's not rigging. Their ability to control the outcome of elections, that they don't care that we know. The Department of Justice doesn't care that we understand that if you're a police officer and you're in a shooting and it's an African-American victim, then it's okay to riot because those aren't riots. Those are just peaceful. And the mayor, if he calls them a riot, he gets called out too for that. They don't care that we know that anymore. And I was being a little depressed about that because...
A little depressed. Julie, you're not allowed to be depressed.
Well, because how
I'm
do you
in
fight...
charge of depression this
okay.
family.
Yeah. I mean, how do you fight back? In 888-627-6008, how do you fight back? I know you can boycott. I think one thing you could do is you just keep pointing it out. I mean...
Well, what Republicans have to do, or conservatives, or whatever we want to call ourselves these days, populists, have to do is pick out one. Just one, Delta, for example, or maybe just one, and concentrate everything on that. Just make sure that they really do feel an effect. That isn't just a vague one, that it's an absolute one. And once we've brought them down, then you move on to another one. But just kind of going, well, you can boycott Coca-Cola, Delta, American Airlines, Lincoln.
Starbucks. Well, and I guess that's true. That should be a concern. That would be one effective strategy because then you do what they do is you make an example of them. Right. I'm not so sure they care, though. I mean, here's my problem.
I think if you had an effective one, a few people or a million people or something, but if you had a universal one and everybody agreed that they just weren't going to buy that company's products, they probably care. Let's sell more in China then, but still, it probably wouldn't matter.
Well, and I think the biggest thing we need to do is just to ignore them and make sure that our local state legislators go ahead and pass and that election laws that are fair and require identification,
well,
require to be.
They're not
well, you know, I got to wonder how much Because here's the thing, these corporations, I think they care about the bottom line. They're going to use it to try to pressure state governments. But if state governments ignore them, I mean, in the overall scheme of things, I know it's bad that Major League Baseball left Georgia, but I wonder how much, I mean, was it worth caving in, right, to their requests? I think they're going to continue to make their requests. They're going to continue to use the force of the media and social media. And I think we just need to constantly stand up to them and say, no, you're a freaking corporation. You're not going to tell us how to run. You know, you can come as a CEO if you live in our state and you can register to speak with all of the other citizens and say what you think. But we're not going to do what you tell us we have to do simply because you think you're, you know, what was, I was watching the Batman movie the other day and the kid, the Flash kid, asked Bruce Wayne, what was his secret power, his superpower? And he said, I'm rich. Okay, well, you know what? Superpowers are not, being rich is really not a superpower, okay? You may think it, it can be. But I think that's one thing we can do too, is just ignore it and say, no, we're going to have great laws. Because these people who say, and you hear this from Republicans, you hear it from Republicans in Congress and everywhere, they say, well, these are private corporations. So private corporations can do what they want. I'm going to submit that these are not private corporations anymore. These are basically authoritarian, totalitarian, how do you say it?
Totalitarian.
Thank you. Forces that are trying to take over the country, are trying to take over the world, essentially to benefit themselves. So this whole concept of, well, it's a private company, Facebook can do what they want. No, I mean, that'd be like saying that, you know, Excel can do what it wants, and Excel can turn around and say, well, if you're a Trump supporter, we're not going to allow you to have heat. Or if the water department says, if you're a Trump supporter, we're not going to let you have water. There are
Soon they probably will be able to.
Well, that's the thing, because the danger is they do control these elections. You know, Mitch McConnell can hop up and down all he wants, and No, he's as much a part of the problem, because he's same thing. He's like, I don't really care, as long as you keep funneling money to my campaign, I'll keep giving you whatever you want me to give you legislatively and in terms of regulations.
Well, you do have to admire President Trump, because, you know, he's not speaking out much these days, kind of staying quiet. But when he does go to a fundraiser or something and calls Mitch McConnell just one piece of crap or whatever the phrase, it's true. And Mitch McConnell isn't very bright. He's a brilliant tactician. No, he's not. I mean,
he just controlled stuff.
Yeah, well, Schumer controlled a lot more. I mean,
right. Hear this from Sander True. I agree, and they are monopolies in ignoring antitrust regulations. I remember Quest. Weren't they being charged as a monopoly, or was that another country? I remember the Quest trials. What was it? First of all, it was Mountain Bell and
Nacho.
Yeah, Phil Nacho. You went to jail. Mm-hmm. I think it was. I don't think it was antitrust stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody knows out there. I think it was just other financial shenanigans. I think they were pretending that they had money that they didn't have. I think it was more of a shareholder issue.
Look it up.
I remember covering the trial, and at the end of the trial, I'm listening to the verdict, and I was like, this is economics. I don't know how the trial went on forever. But the bottom line, though, is that they don't care anymore. And for us to say, well, they're a private company, so they can do what they want, they're really not a private company anymore. They have massive power. They're in cahoots with billionaires. And they decided, basically, I think that the Democrats are the most viable. They also kind of like to virtue signal and all of that. Right. But I think that's just why they're in cahoots with the Democrats. Democrats aren't going to do anything to discourage that, do you think? I mean, why Jared Polis is like, sure, Major League Baseball, come on over here. And they're like, okay, great.
Yeah.
And they
play. I ain't going to the game, and Julie's not going to the game, and Rev's not going to the game. Tiger might go, but it's really kind of fun. A fun time, everybody.
It's not fun time, Chuck.
Well, it's an interesting.
It is an interesting, but I think, though, this is a very dangerous time. When you've got corporations flexing their power, when you've got corporations saying, if you're a Trump supporter, are you raising money for Trump? We're not going to process your credit cards. If you're a social media company and you say, if you're a Trump supporter, or if you question the vaccine, the election, if you question anything that we decide you can't question, and we're going to get to that in a second too. If you question anything that we, the corporation, say you can't question, then we're going to shut you down. We're going to let you make it difficult, if not impossible, for you to do business. And then we're going to also manipulate the elections to make sure that the people we have bought off stay in power. I, you know, I'm going to disagree with you. Usually I'm the cheerful one. I think that's more than interesting.
No, you're, you're, you're turning on us.
I am. I think that's just downright dangerous. Hey, we got Barney, though.
All right.
Barney's
talk about an anti-vaxxer.
Hey, Barney. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. So first off, the woman cop was an idiot. They're just as dumb as they get. Have no business being there. And what I would like to say to the – and it's in general, because the state in general wants to take our guns away with their red flag crap and actually any way they can. So I would say in general, we're supposed to trust these idiots. These are the ones that want to take our guns away. And I'm sorry, the cops are the state, like it or not. So I would just say, yeah, here's your example. And I don't even want to get into the Babbitt. I mean, it's all I can say is Northern Ireland. One day, just maybe, because that's the only way you've taken our right to vote away. So let's just look forward to maybe a deal like Northern Ireland. And if that happens, you know, the ugly man with the beard, Rupert Stilskin or whatever it is at Twitter, he goes too. You know, when the politicians are being taken out, these companies, these CEOs, they're no different. And by the way, I disagree with you on Major League Baseball. They were all so willing to just bail. You're not going to get anywhere with these corporations because they're a bunch of spineless, ballless. You know, they're just spineless. They're the worst. They're worse than the politician. Like I said before, I want the senator on the Senate floor to say, would the senior senator from the shithole state of Kentucky, Mitch Fat Stinkin' McConnell, you know, that's the kind of language I want to hear, because that's what we've got to come down to. We've got to start standing up. And, by the way, when you have Priscilla on, I want someone to tell Scott Gessler, hey, buddy, you're a puke. We don't need you. You wrote a nasty email to, you know, where are the men at in the party? That's what I want to know. Well, I know where they're at.
All we got is the women. And then potential trannies. I mean,
no.
Well, yeah, I know. Hey, I don't care. You know what? The women are the one that have the balls. That's all there is to it. So, love you guys. But this, you know what, this is so damn disgusting. And so, it's just really disheartening. And, day after day, it's always something. And it just gets older and older and older. And I don't know. I think one time you said that you have to kill people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, they're pushing and they're pushing and they're pushing us into the corner. And I don't know. I'm not saying I'm hoping shit hits the fan, but this is really getting old and it's really getting disgusting. And I've got no faith in the state because, by the way, did you see the cop in West Virginia that was going after the army officer that was in his car? Isn't that? I'll tell you what. That officer, I guarantee you, he wanted to take that fat puke down by the throat. I guarantee you. You know, you saw this fat piece of crap try to bring his arm down to handcuff him, and it wasn't moving. I guarantee you. I'll tell you, I lost all respect for law enforcement. That's all there is to it. But anyway, love you guys. You didn't need to hear my rant, but
Everyone did.
Thank you, Barney. Okay. Thanks. Anyone else wants to call and rant? 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Well, Chuck, that's what you say, Barney. It gets discouraging. And Chuck's like, we need to talk about something that's not discouraging. And we'll get to that in a second with Priscilla, Ron. There's some good news there. But I do think you just got to point it out. And I know it gets discouraging. And the only hope I have, I kind of feel like Anne Frank or something, that people are basically good. And I still lock my doors. I think that my hope is, though, that there are a lot of people out there who basically are kind of waking up and are saying, you know, I don't like this. I don't like that people are saying this and then are going to push back. I think, you know, with the vaccine, and we'll talk about this a little bit after because Priscilla can be on for about like 15 minutes or 20 minutes. You know, that there are a lot of questions about the vaccine, and Tucker Carlson had an interesting thing where, okay, so they had six people out of 7 million had a negative reaction. And as he pointed out, with blood clots, right? And he said, well, more people than that, on birth control pills, it's like 1 out of 1,000 has blood clots. Yeah. And he said, so it's a much more risky thing, really. And they don't get rid of birth control pills. Tucker Carlson's premise is there's a lot going on there with this Johnson & Johnson vaccine and the technology or lack thereof behind it. He believes that they're not telling us. And he said, why would they have just had these six and all of a sudden they cancel it? right? And they're not sure when it's going to come back. They had 14 people get sick in Denver, right? And so they pulled it. And then the next day they said, oh, no, we're all fine. Come on back. I'm like, I don't know. And now there's a reporter, some healthy guy died after getting the vaccine. I don't know what the truth is, but I do know I don't trust anybody in the government, particularly Fauci, to tell us what the truth is.
Fauci's getting more. He's there everywhere saying, no, if you got vaccinated, don't go into an environment where people aren't wearing masks because they could get contagious. No, because they could make others contagious. No. So why wouldn't you go back? And the answer, of course, is because we're never going to let you go back. Yeah. We're controlling your lives forever.
We're going to do a whole show about all the things that are worse off in the few months that Biden has been president. Gas prices are up a dollar. The economy sucks. The border is in crisis. Russia's about to invade Ukraine. The vaccine thing as a whole is a nightmare. But like Tucker Carlson said, it's like for months they've been hammering this. You must get the vaccine. You must get the vaccine. You have to have a vaccine passport, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's it. Vaccine.
And get some funeral coverage while you're getting the vaccine.
Then they say, oh, by the way, yeah, that vaccine, we're not going to give it out anymore. Yeah, we're just not going to do the vaccine anymore.
For you,
yeah, it's kind of like
we care about your safety.
We care about your safety, so we're not going to allow you to have it anymore. And what did Fauci say? And we're not sure when it's going to come back.
Not ever sure.
And then they're like,
normal? What's normal?
And it's like, well, and they didn't answer. What was wrong with those 14 people? Well, what caused that adverse reaction? Was it just they all like had bad bean burritos or something like that before they got the vaccine, coincidentally? Or was it related to the vaccine? And if so, did they fix it? So the only hope I have is that more and more people are, it's going to be harder for them to push, I think, the vaccine. When they get, the vaccine passport. I mean, when you have people, when they give you the vaccine and then they pull it off the market and they say, okay, we're not going to really do that anymore. You know, I think it makes it harder.
Let's go to Jacob from Denver online too. Hey, Jacob.
Hi. I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but there was a guy named President Carter who was elected because the people were sick of Ford and Nixon and the whole deal back in Watergate. During that time, there was a guy that used to shake down Coca-Cola, TWA, and I think it was Wells Fargo, but it was under a different name back then, and that was Jesse Jackson. And I think this is Jesse Jackson 2.0, what's going on now.
Well, that, you know, these people are going. If Jesse became the CEO of those corporations he used to shake down, they've become the shakedown artists themselves.
Yeah, the corporations are shaking. Although, did you see? I think that's funny. The Black Lives Matter people are mad because their main organizer is buying million-dollar houses all over the place. Was pulling in $20,000. $20,000 a month.
Good morning. And the second thing, I don't like talking about health and in public, but when I got my COVID, and then a couple weeks later, I stayed away from everybody, and then I had my COVID test again, and it came out negative. So the doctor told me that do not get the vaccine because it's going to fight with your immune system because you have the antibodies, and you're going to develop blood clots.
Oh,
so they've
really
known about this for a while. Yes.
This was
last October. This was last October. Do not get the vaccine because it's going to fight with your antibodies, and you're going to end up with, you may end up with blood clots. Called a friend of mine, a friend that I went to high school with. He's at Hopkins, or he went through the Hopkins system to become a doctor. And he told me the same thing. He says, if you got it, stay away from it. Stay away from the vaccine.
And here's the scary thing, Jacob, because you know what? Rather than allowing us to have sort of like an intelligent discussion or debate about it, if your doctor friend tried to post something like that, on YouTube or hold a forum, they would cancel him, right? They would take it down. They wouldn't let him
Look what they did with the hydroxychloroquine. I had doctors telling me, "Yeah, it's good stuff," but I didn't want to. I don't like medicine to begin with. I have an aunt from many years ago. She told me the doctors don't know anything until about 15 years after the disease has passed through. And
I'm with you because I know Chuck and I think we our family had it, right? And yeah. I thought to myself, I mean, Rand Paul is right. If you're recovering from COVID or you've had the vaccine, you can go on with your life. To me, it's like if you've already, when I was a kid, right, we had the measles. We didn't then get the measles vaccine. We already had the measles, right? You might get a booster shot years later. But that, yeah, I mean, this isn't like some brand new strange science that no one's ever heard of before. And so that's what I thought to myself, too. I'm like, I get that the vaccine probably for millions of people seems to be safe and effective, but there are side effects. I'm like, having had COVID, why would I want to get a vaccine that just might mess me up in some way? And the fact that the government's going to try to make me is just crazy.
Why didn't they just go the chickenpox route and just get herd immunity? Just, you know, I remember when I was a kid, everybody went to some friend's house. He's got chickenpox. Let's all get it and get it over with. You know, and now they have a vaccine, but they're not so sure about this vaccine either, because there's been kids that have been getting sick, and they get, well, some claim autism. I don't know if that's true, but they have been getting sick from that chickenpox vaccine.
I think it's clear. So, yeah, vaccines are always, you know, I have no quarrel with the people who get them, and I have no quarrel with the people who don't. The bottom line to me, it's a private health decision that you should make based on your own reason. So, hey, Jacob, listen, thank you for calling.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Appreciate your information.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We got Priscilla there.
Priscilla, hey, Priscilla.
Newly elected vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party. Hey, thank you. Welcome. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me here, Chuck and Julie. Good to see you.
Why don't you tell everybody about yourself and the fact that you have to be the world's most courageous person to be a staunch Trump supporter and conservative and a member of the Colorado Teachers Union.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely the unicorn in the room. I'm Priscilla. And for those people who don't know me, I am the proud daughter of an Army veteran. I love to talk about being an Army brat. My dad was drafted at the age of 18. Wow. And went to Vietnam. So he's a Vietnam War vet and served our great nation for almost 30 years.
Whoa. And congratulations.
Thank you. My dad is definitely my hero, and he's the one who taught me how to love my country, how to be patriotic, how to think independently, but he also taught me how to fight. And I fight every day for our conservative values, even as a teacher in public school. It's really challenging, and I just feel like that's where my voice is and where I can make a big impact as a conservative teacher. It's changed a lot in the last 27 years. I still teach, and I've been a principal. And so having those responsibilities, I take that seriously. And my mom was born in Seoul, Korea, when there was still a unified Korea in 1938. And in 1950, when the war started, she became an orphan. She eventually married a U.S. soldier and came to the U.S. and started taking martial arts classes. And 2 years ago, at the age of 81, my mom was inducted into the Korean Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame.
Wow. Holy cow!
I know. So you can imagine a military father and an Asian mother. I grew up very, like, I had to toe the line, so.
Well, you know, there are so many things I want to talk to you about, and I think, as you know, and people who listen to us know, Chuck and I have had our issues with the Colorado Republican Party, but I am really optimistic about this new leadership, some of the new things. There are plenty of room for things to work on, and Chuck, as I'm sure, has already bent your ear with that, and we will continue to do so. But I want to point out to people two things that I think are very good signs, and I'd like you to talk more about them. One, we were at the Douglas County Pro-Law Enforcement Day over the weekend on Sunday, and you were there in the first time ever, Colorado Republican Party had a presence there with a booth. You were like—
Even registering people.
Registering people. You were all over. You took selfies with every single person there. I mean, you were amazing, Priscilla, and I mean that sincerely. You were going up, you were introducing yourself. If you were somebody there who didn't really know very much about the Republican Party, you would be like, man, those people got it together. I want to be like them. I want to be with them. And then another thing, I got an email this morning from Christy Burton Brown, again, for the first time, talking about, you know, the Democrats are always getting out talking points. Okay, well, here's this public option bill, which will destroy healthcare in Colorado. Here's some talking points. Here's some things when you guys are having conversations in your social media that you can use. So, I mean, that's one thing I hear so much from like my neighbors. It's like, well, we don't know what to say when people say this and that to us. And boom, there it was in my email this morning. So what's going on there? And how are you guys going to, how more than this are you guys going to be different and better?
Well, we're a new kind of woke. You know, the Democrats think they're woke, but the Republican Party is active. We are educated, we're knowledgeable, and we are having conversations with people in the community, our neighbors, who are just as frustrated with the tyranny that we've been dealing with in our state. And we have to rebuild trust, not only within our party, because we have people within our party who are very upset with the way things have gone. And we cannot continue to do things as status quo. So we're really excited about unifying our party, growing our party. But also, we are going to have the narrative out in the community of who we are. We're not going to allow the Democrats and the left to dictate and tell us who we are, because we know who we are. We're very confident in what we stand for. And that's, you know, the life empowering values of the Constitution. And I can go all the way down the line to talk about what that means. But it's one of the reasons why, as a woman of color who's a public school teacher in the teachers union, can stand boldly and say, this is what we want. This is how we live. This is how it's better for when we're talking about, you know, communities of color and poor communities. What are the policies that are going to improve our communities? And so we know what those policies look like, and we're going to bring the answers to our community.
Well, I think that self-confidence is critical. Because the Republican Party has for a long time not been very self-confident. They've been
apologetic
and always saying, well, we want the same as the Democrats, but just slightly less. And one of the things is the left has dictated to us how we can have our own candidates, which is when they passed 107 and 108. And they tell us that we have to have unaffiliateds decide who our candidates are. And because of that, during the last election, Catherine Murdoch spent over $3 million in Colorado.
She's
primaries.
A Democrat.
Well, she's a far-left Democrat. She's a daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch and her far-left one from New York City. She spent triple in the primaries what the entire chest was for Republican state House seats.
She was spending it on so-called Republicans.
Right.
So she was meddling basically in the manipulating the Republican primary.
And successfully.
Yeah.
And they plan to put $6 to $9 million in next time. So we've got to have our own party. We've got to quit allowing Democrats to tell us who our party is. And how do you feel like about liberating our primaries from having people who aren't Republicans vote in our primaries?
Well, it's been really clear when I talk to Republicans all across the state that they want Republicans voting for Republicans. It's really important that we listen to those voices and that we do what we can to, again, rebuild trust, grow our party. It's important to Republicans to know where you stand because, again, we are living in a time where a lot of our freedoms are starting to be taken away. We're losing control over our own party elections, and that should not continue to happen. So I think we're going to see a movement where the grassroots Republicans gets together and says, you know, we're going to make these decisions for our party, and we want to make sure that we're supporting our state in a way that makes sense, where we're bringing back those freedoms and liberties back to our state.
That's absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about your campaign, because some people might think that you know, you run for chair or vice chair or something, you just get up at the organizational meeting, go, hi, I'm Priscilla.
Vote for me, please.
And that's sort of it. I mean, you went on a months-long campaign. To tell us about it.
Sure. I think I announced in November of last year, and because I had run for CU Regent, I had some familiarity in running a campaign, and I never went away. I just kept working with other candidates, helping get candidates elected. And I started to learn more about the process, which I would encourage anybody to do if you're thinking about you want to get involved at the local level or even state level, is to help someone get elected. Okay. And so that's what I did. And so I learned that that personal contact is extremely vital. And I worked really, really hard to be approachable, relatable, to listen, to offer solutions, and to just work. And that's what I did. And I realized that if I was going to win an election, nobody could work harder than me on my campaign. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about what I would want in a candidate and how I vote and what's the process I personally use when I get ready to vote for someone. I look for certain qualities. And so I just said, you know, I want to try to be that person. And I know it was a big hurdle being a teacher and being a part of the teachers union. You know, there's some trust that has to be built. But 40% of teachers in the teachers union are actually Republicans. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that. There are a lot of conservative public school teachers, but our voices are silenced and teachers are afraid to speak up. And so I'm here to say to anybody who's watching, if you're a conservative teacher, we need your voice. We need you to stand up. And we need to be teaching kids how to think and not what to think. And that indoctrination is a serious issue.
Oh, that's a perfect way to put it. How to think, not what to think. Well, one of the things, again, I like about you guys in this email, which was a nice surprise from Christy Burton, and it wasn't just to me, it was to all kinds of people, right? Normally, we've heard Republicans say wishy-washy things like, we need to let people know we believe in patriotism and we believe in liberty and blah, 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 which means nothing. But instead, this is like, here's what this House bill would do. It would just, here are the facts about it. Here's the evidence. Here are things you can say. Because again, I just hope you guys, I encourage you to do more of it. There's women's group I belong to, and I tell Chuck it's perfect. It's got like wine and desserts, so they get a pretty good crowd.
We'll invite you
to one of it. But one of the things the women there, and these are just women, neighborhood women, right? And they're like, what do we do? How do we, when people say, well, no, you're racist because you don't like, you know, public health care, blah blah blah, and they're looking for information that they can at least arm themselves with, and they can respond to people. Because you know, you read Christie's thing and you're like, who in their right mind, unless you are a communist or socialist, would be for this legislative proposal? So I really hope you keep doing stuff like that rather than just say, oh, we love America, you know, which we do. But if you need a little more on that.
Yeah, we need to definitely have meaty conversations, one-on-one coffee, small groups where we're listening and talking about sensible solutions that are not harmful. A lot of what we've seen, even like in SB 182, which was the school safety bill that we successfully tabled, I guess is the official thing. And now we're looking at the healthcare bill. These are bills that are written so extreme. And when you look at the language, and I'm a person that actually goes to the bill, and I would encourage anybody, read the language of the bill. But it's a red flag to me when it starts out real flowery, yeah. You know, and we're, you know, it's really deceptive. These bills, and even when you look at ballot measures, are deceptively written. Yeah. And if you're not savvy and you don't do your homework and you don't ask questions, you'll say, well, this sounds like a really great idea.
Right, right.
And first, like, 5 or 6 pages of this bill. So it's like, oh, it's just an option, but it's not just an option. What it will do is extremely damaging and hurtful, not only to healthcare workers, but to everyday people, to take our choices away for healthcare. So yeah, we're going to be doing more than just talking points. We're going to actually be knowledgeable about what is happening in our state legislature.
Anything else that you guys are keeping your eye on that you want to give us a hint about that, you know, that you might be kind of putting out more talking points on, or are you just focusing on this one for right now?
Well, right now, this is the most immediate one because this is quote unquote the hill we want to die on. There are certain things that we feel like are extremely critical and have a long-term negative impact on Coloradans. And so we're focusing our efforts on the things that we feel are going to be damaging. And healthcare is an important issue for so many people. And, you know, this narrative that maybe we don't care, or like we care. Republicans, we want healthcare to be affordable for everybody. We want it to be the Jaguar healthcare for everybody. So we need to watch the language, because we could potentially miss important details and then find out on the back end it's actually hurt more citizens of Colorado than it's helped.
Well, it's designed that way, right? They designed it to trick you.
Described, and I was at the Arapaho Tea Party event last night, speaking out on behalf of liberating our primaries from Democrats. And Randy Corcoran ran this wonderful 4-minute thing with Michael Douglas. And everything he said, you would thought was something you agreed with. And that's what Democrats always do. They give you all the litany that you believe in, and then, but their solution at the end is a draconian, awful left wing that contradicts everything else they said before. But they've gotten, since they believe in nothing, they've gotten so good at the language.
Yeah.
They're always crafting languages to make even the most hideous idea sound like a sensible one to people. And they don't care that it's deceptive. Because
no, that's
all they do. Yeah. You know, if they actually told you what they wanted to do to you, nobody would accept it. They've always got to pretend it's just the opposite.
Right. Sandra is saying it's like the need to read the small print. Well, let me ask you, one of the things I get from you guys, that this new group coming in, and I sincerely hope that this is true, is that it's not going to just be the same old, back room, cigar smoking establishment guys with the cigars, et cetera, and nobody else gets to get in, and then they just kind of tell us who our candidates are after Catherine Murdoch funds them. What can people do? I mean, how can people find out about it? If people are listening, like, you know, I want to get involved, because I know you guys are big on local elections too. Where can people go? How do they get in? What's the best way for folks to say, well, maybe I like the Republican Party in Colorado again? What's the best way for them to find out more?
So we would love for you to go to the Colorado Republican Committee website, and there's a link where you can sign up for all of our coalitions and different committees. Christy, our chairwoman, has created several committees. I'm over candidate support and community outreach. So those are my two babies, and I would love volunteers, especially with community outreach. We have Teacher Appreciation Week coming up the first week of May, and the Republican Party is going to be out celebrating teachers and encouraging our teachers to get involved in the political process and school board races because we want their voices. And so we're going to be sending out all kinds of calls for people to volunteer in whatever capacity and whatever coalitions that you want to be involved in. That's how we're going to get our message out to the different counties.
Well, that's what Christy had mentioned that to us when we had her on the show. She said she's forming all of these teams and these coalitions, right? On different topics. So if somebody's interested, like you said, in education or something else, you don't have to be a know everything about everything. It can be something that you particularly care about.
Well, I think these school board races will be critical. And Republicans and conservatives have always been afraid to identify who is in fact the union-backed candidates, because people want to know that these are the left wing, that you're not getting
Priscilla,
you're getting a left wing hack. And I really hope the Republican Party gets involved in saying these are the candidates that reflect school choice and other ones, and these other ones, they're the ones that will close your schools down, don't want to come back to work, do not want your kids in classes, and all that. Because I think that's a huge growth possibility for Republicans.
Education.
Mm-hmm. Education, because really the left, by destroying the schools and closing them down, has really alienated a lot of people. And we've got to be able to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think one way we can start and agree is community schools and having wraparound services for our public schools. I think that's a place where Republicans and Democrats can actually agree. And I think we'll actually move the needle when it comes to addressing a lot of the education disparities. Because when we look at, you know, our literacy and our math scores in the state, it's really difficult to defend a government-run system when you have these educational gaps. And so as conservatives, we can come in and offer sensible solutions to our government-run system of education in places where parents may not have the finances yet to put their child in a charter school or private school or a parochial school.
You don't need any resources to put your child into the charter school.
Yeah.
It's run by the state, and our child's in a charter
school. That's why they're trying to get rid of them.
And that's why the teachers' unions want to get rid of them. They don't want to have choice. I mean, choice is the one thing that will change the educational system, and it's the one thing the left is the most afraid of, giving parents choices.
Well, and what I say to educators is, you know, it doesn't matter to me what the name of is on the outside of a building. What matters to me is the quality of education that's happening in the classroom with that teacher. So I'm not going to argue about charter schools with somebody or public schools or private schools, because to me, it's sidestepping the actual issue. Like you said, the choice issue, which is why I support school choice. Parents should have the right to put their child in a school where their child's going to get the support that they need. And if our government-run school is not providing the support that a child needs, then we should not be holding that child hostage in a school where they're not getting service. And so that narrative is not going to survive very long, especially when we're recovering from COVID. And we're taking CMAS tests right now. When that data comes out, you know, we'll be able to see exactly where the gaps are.
Exactly. Yeah, well, Priscilla, I hear you're binging. We're binging. So
everybody's binging.
Everybody's binging. Thank you for your time.
You've been great. Love having you on, and we'll have to have you back.
Absolutely. It's good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. There, Priscilla Rahn, the newly elected vice chairperson of the Colorado Republican Party. Yeah, this from Sanders. Sanders, this is absolutely right. Look what happened in conservative Douglas County when they voted down charter schools and vouchers, basically. That was the infiltration of the left. Exactly. And so she was great there. So thank you to Priscilla. Hey, we got about 10 minutes left. If people want to weigh in, 888-627-6008.
We've got 4 minutes left, Julie.
Oh, 4 minutes left. Oh, sorry.
But Sanders.
Same difference. That's from Kieran Cattling, going back to a different topic. Kieran, if you're listening still, we're going to have to get you on. A little more bad news. This is back up about the corporations. I believe they've been using our money to bribe and blackmail the corporations so the bennies from the government are worth more than customers and sales. That's absolutely true, Kieran. Yeah. I believe that. She says corporations are too dumb to realize they're signing their own death warrants, just like the health companies they tried to bribe. It's the same MO. Yeah, but I think what's happened with corporations now, if you're the CEO, there was a time, I think, when CEOs actually knew something about the company, but CEOs come and go now, right? And CEOs don't care what happens 7 years.
CEOs last around 4 years.
Right. So all they care.
And all they care about is getting their stock options, getting their $1 million pensions and benefits, and then getting the hell out of Dodge and then going down to Colorado to Vail and telling us how to live our lives.
And this from Charlene, any process in the works for holding Democrat light Republicans in the legislature accountable to the party platform? Well, Charlene, that's one of the, no, I guess. I'm sorry. We're working on it. But that's one of the reasons that Chuck and his cabal are launching this push to liberate our primary from the Democrats. Because again, one of the biggest things that got these basically Democrat lights posing as Republicans. Matt Arnold called them Diablos, Democrats, right, and everything but name only. When the Democrats fund the Republican primaries, they do that for the sole purpose of putting a Democrat essentially in. And you don't know that if you're a Republican voting, you're like, okay, well, this guy is a Republican, he must be good. And no, he's not.
Well, they're Republicans, but they specialize in reaching across the aisle, like Kevin Proyla, and supporting heroin injection sites. So heroin injection sites is not normally thought as a Republican talking point, but you get Republicans in there.
And I guess the progress, I guess I misspoke. There's a little bit of progress. One of the reasons that this happened is the establishment Republicans who've been in charge of the party all of this time, in cahoots with the consultants, all make their money from, because there's not enough Republican money out there, so they make their money from the Democrats. So they're happy to have the Democrats play in the Republican primary. Right. One of the good things is we got rid of some of those massive establishment establishment people in the latest election for the new leadership of the Colorado Republican Party. So that's the good news. Hopefully we can eliminate some of that consultant influence. Right. But again, that's why Chuck and these guys are pushing to pull, to say, no, we're not going to have an open primary. You have to be a registered Republican to vote in the primary. And hopefully that will, I think, absolutely, that will make a dent in the Democrats meddling in our elections, don't you think?
Yeah, they'll kind of go, oh, no, the real Republicans get to nominate real Republicans. So it's just part two. And then once we get the Republican Party back, because we have nothing to lose at this point, we cannot win a statewide race because Denver's so corrupt. The ballot harvesting is so vicious there that no other candidate can win statewide. They just can't if you're a Republican. We can't win the House. We can't win the Senate. So we might as well stand for something while we're still alive.
And again, I applaud what they're trying to do in the Republican Party with these committees. I think it's great. Go have a teacher appreciation day. Because you know what? If you've got a Republican booth there, it'll just be like when I was working at Fox and I would say something and people would come sneaking up to me and they'd be like, I'm a Trump supporter too. Don't tell anyone. I mean, it'd be the similar thing, right? You can have teachers come up and say, actually, I'm a Republican too. Thank God you guys are here. There is some hope, Charlene. I guess I misspoke. There is a little bit of hope. Hey, we'll be here on Party Friday. Patrick Neville will fill us in on all the evil doings at the state legislature. You can catch everything at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube. Love to have you signed up for our newsletter. Anything else?
No.
Thank you, everybody.
Take care, and we'll see you on Party Friday.